The good, the bad, and the economically unstable countries. How institutions play a role in the stability of a country's economy. In many studies, it has been found that the stability of an economy is strongly correlated with the type of institution enforced in that country. A well-developed country typically has good institutions, while the opposite is said about developing countries. From the research I've done on this topic, I realized that politics plays an important part in the way a country is building these institutions. As we learned in macroeconomics class, institutions are the best predictor of long-term growth. One country that has seen growth in good institutions is Singapore, while South Sudan has had bad institutions, which was resulted in a failure to substantially expand economically. As far as good institutions go, Singapore ranks in one of the top positions. I chose this country as an appropriate representation of a flourishing institution because of their strong politics and economy, human rights, international relations, low bribery and corruption rates, serious views about terrorism and organized crime, and overseas business risk. Singapore, the article expresses how Singapore is a highly prosperous island state, while being one of the most politically stable countries. They have a small open economy and are known to be easy to trade with. The rate of unemployment is extremely low at just 2%. Singapore makes sure that their relations with neighboring countries is strong, especially since they founded the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. Due to bribery being illegal in Singapore, finding a member of the government or any official participating in bribery can end in an arrest. In order to ensure good institutions, Singapore relies on having an honest government, political stability, a dependable legal system, and an open market. I believe that the history behind Singapore may have caused their economic and political strengths. The historical side of Singapore was brought up in the article called Brief History of Singapore, where it was mentioned that the British established trading posts in Singapore in 1819, which I think benefited the country. Later, Singapore became a self-governed country in 1959, which showed the perfect time for the government to apply better rights to citizens and agreed to respect their rights. On the other hand, South Sudan is known to struggle with their institutions they have. The reason I chose this country was that after finding information in the article, Peace, Political Stability, and Development in South Sudan, I learned that half of the people in the country live off of less than $1 a day, and the adult literacy rate is less than 25%. The attempt at a strong government went astray when the president of South Sudan fired his deputy. This issue of civil wars and little peace could end up directly affecting the stability of the country politically. Overall, South Sudan is a poor country with some tremendously bad institutions across the globe, and they are only getting worse. To aid in the bad institutions that South Sudan has, I believe they should begin by expanding their relationships with well-developed nations. In this way, they can start to enforce stricter laws and build the government to be fair and honest. Institutional growth begins with the acknowledgement of needing change to create a better, well-rounded country. I think that good institutions are being prevented from being put into place by the lack of government enforcement upon the citizens of South Sudan. In general, well-developed countries are commonly the result of a good institution due to the economic growth of the country. Although Singapore has had its own problems in the past, it has grown to be a country with strong institutions. Meanwhile, South Sudan struggles to keep their country in one piece with the lack of support from their institutions.